या देवी सर्वभूतेषु मातृरूपेण संस्थिता नमस्तस्यै 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 नमो नमः. I offer my humble pranams to Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother Sharda Devi and Swami Vivekananda, and I also thank Geeta Pranaji for offering me this chance of speaking to all of you devotees of Bangalore Sharda Math on this special occasion. Today, as we all know, is the holy occasion of Mahalaya Amavasya, auspicious for offering the tarpan or oblations to our ancestors. And after this day, from tomorrow itself, we'll start Devi Paksha, the 15 days which are auspicious for the worship of the Divine Mother. And today also happens to be the birthday celebration of Swami Akhandanandaji Maharaj, one of the direct disciples of Sri Ramakrishna. And he was born in the year of 1864, September 30th, to pious couple Srimanta Gangopadhyaya and Srimati Vamasundari Devi. From childhood itself, he was an extraordinary boy. He was named as Gangadhar, and he had deep spiritual inclination. He was very daring and fearless by nature, and he was very regulated life, leading life, such as taking Ganga Snan thrice a day and doing austerities, japa, meditation, swadhyaya, etc. He was also full of dispassion and love for spiritual life. He also had a compassionate heart, always feeling for the suffering humanity. His first meeting with Sri Ramakrishna was a landmark in his life, which accelerated his spiritual progress. He met Sri Ramakrishna at the early age of 12 to 13 years itself, which made a deep impression on him. That happened in the devotee's house, and it had a lasting impression on his life. And later, when he was merely 19 years old, he went to Dakshineshwar to actually meet Sri Ramakrishna there, and from then onwards, Sri Ramakrishna accepted him as his disciple, and he guided him in spiritual sadhana and helped him to reach the ultimate goal. After the master attained Mahasamadhi, Gangadhar led a parivrajak life, wandering to many places of pilgrimages like Kashi, Ayodhya, Haridwar, Kedar, Badri, etc. And he was very adventurous by nature. And we know many times during his wandering life, he had to face many risky situations and dangers when life itself was at risk. And for example, once when he had visited the famous temple of Chandravadini, the Divine Mother's temple, and while returning, he fell from a mountain cliff almost to the heights from 2 miles downwards into the fields where some tribal people were cooking their meals, and by the grace of Divine Mother only, his life was saved, we can say. And later he crossed Indian border and went to Tibet and lived with in the Buddhist monasteries and learned the Tibetan language, their manners, customs, etc. And during his life in these monasteries, he observed the luxurious lifestyle of some of the lamas, and he opposed it, and that infuriated the lamas, and they imprisoned him, and somehow he had to escape from their wrath. And when he came outside also, again he was suspected by British government, and they again arrested him, and later, finding that he was an innocent person, they released him. Seeing that he had a very good knowledge of Tibetan language, their custom, culture and everything, he was given the job of counselor by British government, but he refused to accept that government, and he also visited Kailas and Manasarovar at this time. Swami Vivekananda loved him very much and affectionately called him Ganges, because his previous name was Gangadhar, and it was Swamiji who asked him to come to the Ramakrishna Math and take sannyas, the vows of sannyas, and the name of Swami Akhandanandaji. And he accompanied Swami on many Himalayan pilgrimages, and it was actually Holy Mother herself who had requested Swami Akhandanandaji to look after Swamiji during these travels, because his life was so precious, and Akhandanandaji knew very well the ways of the life at mountain and the food, etc., the situations there. And when Swami Vivekananda passed away in 1902, Swami Akhandanandaji was so disturbed. It is said he even wanted to commit suicide, but prevented by Swami Vivekananda, who came in his vision. And later, during his wandering life, Akhandanandaji visited so many places. When in Gujarat, especially at Jamnagar, he learned Charaka and Sushruta Samhita and also studied the scriptures. At Jamnagar, he was the guest of a very rich man by name Shankar Seth. And because this Shankar Seth was so favorable to Akhandanandaji and he was so generously looking after him, the other relatives of Shankar Seth, they became jealous and they wanted to kill Akhandanandaji by poisoning him. And somehow he recovered by the treatment of a famous physician called Jandubhat, who was very generous, pious and compassionate in nature. Swami Akhandanandaji liked this Jandubhat very much and he accepted his motto in life. He often quoted from Mahabharata, Natvaham kamaye rajyam na swargam na punarbhava kamaye dukkha taptanam praninam arti nashanam. I don't crave for kingdom, heaven or rebirth. I only desire the liberation of the removal of the suffering of the common people who are in different difficult situation. So Swami Akhandanandaji, we can say he was the first person who started service activities and relief operations for alleviating the suffering of the miserable. And today we find so many relief operations and service activities conducted by Ramakrishna Math and Mission. But Akhandanandaji was the first person who did it, and he was inspired by this ideal of Shivagnane Jiva Seva, serving all humanity, Jiva as Shiva, the Lord himself. And Swami Vivekananda wrote so many letters to him to inspire him in such activities. It was actually Sri Ramakrishna who had preached this idea, and Swamiji implemented it, and Akhandanandaji was of a great help to him in this. And then when Akhandanandaji was in Murshidabad, at that time he did relief operations there, Sri Ramakrishna came in his vision and asked him not to go out of that place, but work for the suffering people there. And later, Sri Ramakrishna once had shown a beautiful vision of the Mother Yashoda and Lord Krishna to him. And impressed by that attitude of Vatsalya Bhava, the love of Mother Yashoda towards Lord Krishna, that idea filled in his mind also. So he later started an orphanage at Sargachi and looked after the orphan children there as living Narayana himself. And he nursed them and he cared for them all the time he was looking after them. In 1925, he became the Vice President of Ramakrishna Math and Mission, and in 1934, he became the President of the whole order, though he preferred to stay always in Sargachi. In 1936, when he was asked to give his message on the occasion of the birthday celebration of Sri Ramakrishna, first he was a little not much interested. Then later when he sent his message, he wrote in that, that Sri Ramakrishna had come to him in his dream and asked him to send the message like this, that he had neither birth nor death. He was Adyanta Rahita. What can this celebration of birth celebration mean to him? Who can celebrate his birth centenary like that? And ultimately, in 1937, he came to stay at Belur Math, and on February 7th, at the age of 72, he attained Mahasamadhi. So, after this short life of Swami Akhandanandaji, now I would like to tell you a few words about the significance of Durga Puja, which is a very famous celebration celebrated throughout our country, and especially I would like to focus its significance as celebrated in West Bengal. We know from ancient times the Supreme can be worshipped not only as male but as feminine, the Divine Mother herself. This mother worship is something very special to India and not found elsewhere. And in Vaishnava religion, we know how the divine can be approached by five attitudes such as Shanta, Dasya, Madhura, Sakhya and Vatsalya. Out of this, in that Vatsalya type of attitude, God is loved like one's own child, just as Yashoda or Devaki had great devotion and love towards Lord Krishna, Balakrishna. In the Tantra Matha, which is the special scripture for the worship of the Divine Mother, this role is somewhat reversed. That is, here the devotee becomes the child and the God, the Divine Mother. So, she who is the Divine Mother, our relation with our mother is the nearest. It starts before our birth while we are still in the womb of the mother and continues from birth till the end. So, mother is the most intimate person to every child. So, this relation can be applied towards the Divine Mother also. It is she who is the creator or the projector of this whole universe, and she sustains it and finally she destroys it also. Sri Ramakrishna used to say, this child's love towards the mother is the purest attitude that a devotee can have towards God. And just like any ordinary human mothers, the love of child towards the mother, the devotee also can have such love towards Divine Mother. That is, the human relation or attitude can be divinized in order to realize the Divine Mother. In Bengal especially, there were many such sadhakas, for example, Ram Prasad, Premik, Kamalakant, and in recent times, Sri Ramakrishna himself, who practiced this attitude of child's love for the mother, which we can call as Matra Bhava. And in fact, Sri Ramakrishna, even after he had Nirvikalpa Samadhi, this was his mainstay. Throughout his life, he has maintained this attitude of love towards mother. And Sri Ramakrishna started his worshipping Divine Mother in the image of Kali in the Dakshineshwar temple, and ultimately he found the Divine Mother in all beings. He treated all women as the representatives of Divine Mother, including his own divine consort, Sri Sharada Devi also. Again, we find some of the sadhakas are there who are not satisfied with loving God as mother only. They would also like to treat the Divine Mother as their daughter or Kumari. So, that is somewhat similar to the Vatsalya Bhava that we find in the Vaishnava devotees. So, the Divine Mother, she is like a baby, she is treated as a baby, awakened from sleep, she is given the holy bath and she is offered flowers, sandal paste, all beautiful dress, ornaments, naivedya, dhup deep, everything, and devotee finds a great satisfaction in all this. So, both these attitudes of Vatsalya Bhava and Matra Bhava are included in the Durga Puja festival. Holy Mother used to say, God loves to sport as human being. God loves Naralila. To fulfill the desire of the devotee, the divine mother is born as Kumari, as the daughter also. That happened many times in ancient times. For example, in the Puranas we read how when Daksha Prajapati, he worshipped the divine mother, he did lot of austerities for getting her as his daughter, and satisfied by severe tapasya, the divine mother was born as Sati Devi, Daksha Kanya. And from childhood, Sati Devi accepted Mahadeva Shiva as her divine husband, but that was not to the approval of Daksha. So when Daksha performed a big sacrifice, he invited all other daughters, but he did not invite Shiva and Sati. And Sati Devi, in spite of that, goes to attend that sacrifice, and seeing that her husband was dishonored in that way, she was very much distressed, and she gives up her body in yoga. And again, in the next incarnation, the same divine mother, she is born as Parvata Rajakumari to the king Himavan and Menaka Devi, his wife. They had also done severe tapasya for getting the divine mother as their daughter. So she incarnated as Parvati, Uma or Gauri. That's why we call Shailaputri, Prathamam Shailaputri iti, we read in the Chandi. She became famous as Shailaputri. At the same time, a famous demon, Tarakasur, had become so powerful and invincible, he defeated all the gods and he banished them from their heavenly abodes and occupied their places. So the distressed god, they approached Chaturmukha Brahma for some solution, and they came to know from Brahma that it was Subramanya or Kartikeya who would be born as the son of Lord Mahadeva Shiva, and he would become Deva Senapati, commander of gods, and destroy Tarakasura. But Lord Shiva was deeply immersed in Samadhi after the passing away of Sati Devi. Only Divine Mother can bring him down to the normal plane. Now that Divine Mother herself was born as Uma or Parvati, the daughter of Himavan and Menaka. So that also happened for the welfare of mankind only. As Parvati grew, she also selected Shiva as her husband, her eternal husband throughout her in any incarnation, and she performed severe tapasya and austerities for attaining Shiva as her husband. And here also we find, in spite of her mother Menaka and Himavan, they tried to warn her not to do so much austerity, but she did so much tapasya, she neglected even her food, rest and everything. Ultimately, she even stopped taking even a single leaf as food, and that's why she became famous as Aparna. And finally, Shiva was pleased and accepted her as his wife. And so, she, with the permission of her parents, Menaka and Himavan, she marries Lord Shiva, and she goes to Himalaya and she became Kailasa Vasini. And their son, Kartikeya or Subramanya Swami, he destroyed Tarakasur, and gods were delighted and were reinstalled into their respective positions. This is only a story in our Puranas. Now, the poets and the devotees in the Bengal, they take this beautiful situation and they create a beautiful family situation, a setting, and wrote many melodious songs explaining the feelings of Menaka and Himavan, and also the feelings of their daughter Uma. So worldly relations or incidents, they were elevated to divine heights, depicting a divine leela. Now this Durga Puja, what is the time most auspicious for celebrating this? Now we are, for example, now we are celebrating at this time, this is Sharatkal or autumn season, and so this puja, Navaratri, is called Sharadiya Navaratri, this is Sharadiya Durga Puja. This is in contrast to the worship of Divine Mother, which is also done in the spring season, Vasanta Ritu, and that is called Vasanta Navaratri. Actually, the Durga worship in the Vasanta Ritu, that was the original Durga worship that was started by King Suratha, who had lost his kingdom and worshiped Divine Mother to regain his kingdom. But somehow the people did not have so much interest in that Durga Puja, and this Sharadiya Durga Puja has become more famous and common now as the Durga Puja. That happened when in Treta Yuga, Sri Ramachandra, he worshipped Divine Mother to destroy Ravana and get back his wife Sita. And that happened in Sharatkal. So it is believed also that now this Durga Puja that we are conducting in Sharatkal, this is the time when gods are sleeping. It is said the gods are sleeping for 6 months of the year and they are awake for the other 6 months. But the time of gods and the human beings does not tally. So what is one day for gods is equal to 1 year for the human beings. So in that 1 year, the daytime for gods, one daytime, that is equal to 6 months for the human beings. The one night time is equal to other 6 months for the human beings. So in this present time, that is Sharatkal, this is supposed to be the time when gods are asleep. So if we want to do Durga Puja in this season, first of all we have to awaken them from their sleep, then only they can accept the puja. So a special procedure is performed, that is called Bodhan, and it is also called Akala Bodhan because it is an untimely awakening of the gods from their sleep to accept Durga Puja in Sharatkal. If we do worship of the Divine Mother in the other season, that is in the spring season or any other season when gods are supposed to be away, then we need not do this Akal Bodhan. So in this Durga Puja, the Devi is like a child, the baby who is lying down in the shadow of Bilva Vriksha, and in the Shashti Sandhya Kal, she has to be awakened from her sleep. And this is the season of Sharatkal, you know, it comes after the rainy season. It is a beautiful season when we see the rivers and ponds, the water is still and clear with lotuses, and we find the sky is also very clear with only white clouds moving here and there. In this season, the fields are full of green paddy and grass also, and kash flowers, a specific type of grass flowers that we find more in Bengal. It is common everywhere. So also we find the raindrops on the grass shining, sparkling in this time, and also the fragrance of the Parijat flowers spreading everywhere. So it appears the beautiful nature is welcoming the Divine Mother for this Durga Puja. They are inviting her to come to this earthly abode. So the devoted poets, they wrote so many songs called as Agamani songs, welcoming the Divine Mother from her heavenly abode Kailas to this earth. Now in these songs is depicted the beautiful family setting. We know how in any family the parents, they have to send their daughter after marriage to their husband's house, but they feel so sad for sending their daughter, and they expect that the daughter should come back after a year at least to meet them back. The devotees, the parents are feeling so anxious to meet their daughter, and the daughter is also anxious to meet their parents. It is a common incident in any family home. So this has been depicted through the Agamani songs, how the Menaka, the mother Menaka and Himavan, the parents of Parvati, Uma, they are so anxious to meet their daughter. They are so sad for sending away their daughters to her husband's house, and it is such a long time she has not yet come. So it is expressed in all these songs. The wife of Himavan, Menaka, is pleading to Himavan, her husband, to go to the house of Uma and bring her daughter back to house. Why she is delaying so much? Maybe her husband, the Shiva, her son-in-law, is not sending her, some problem may be there. She also tells her husband that how she saw in dreams that Uma was weeping, and she is also calling her ma, and weeping, and she says, I saw my daughter with golden hue. Now she is smearing herself with ashes and wandering in the cremation ground with that beggar like Shiva. And so also she says, my daughter, maybe she is having some trouble. You please go and bring. And side by side with this idea that Uma is their daughter, also this idea that she is Divine Mother herself also. So, Uma comes in the dream of Menaka also, sometimes as the goddess Durga riding on her Vahana, the lion. Sometimes she comes as Kali with in black in color and naked Vibhasana and Trinayana having three eyes. She is accompanied by such associates like Dakini, Yogini, Shakini, all of them. And sometimes she is laughing loudly in Attahasya. All these things make Menaka very much troubled. She is wondering why all such changes have come over my daughter. Maybe it is all due to Shiva's company. And she decides that this time when my daughter comes back to home, I shall not send my daughter to her husband's house again. Let the people, society, whatever they may criticize or complain. Now Giriraj Himavan, he is also anxious to meet his daughter. But you know, he is a man, he cannot show his emotions and weep like Menaka. He is, by nature he speaks less, but he expresses his helplessness because Lord Shiva is not very willing to send Uma back. So the Divine Mother, she enjoys this beautiful play, this, and she enjoys this intimate relation, the love of her parents Menaka and Himavan. Menaka's love towards her, and that is pulling her to this earthly abode. She is also, Uma also is anxious to meet her parents. It is already 1 year's gap. So she places her request in front of her husband Mahadev Shiva. She tells how my parents are anxious to meet me. They are spending every moment with great difficulty, and how difficult for them not seeing her face. And she tries to convince him that she will go only for a short time and come back. But Shiva is not very much pleased with this idea of Uma going to her parents. He is reminded of her previous incarnation when as Sati Devi, she went to their parents Daksha Prajapati, and she was so much distressed, and she even gave up her body. So who knows when Parvati will come back or not. So Shiva is not at all very pleased with the idea, but now she somehow convinces her husband, and finally with great persuasion he gives the permission and she comes to her parents' house. So the long expectation is over, the Kailasavasini is coming to the earth, the nature is welcoming her with all these songs and all this, and Divine Mother, who had responded to the call of Sri Ramachandra due to Akal Bodhan, and who had responded to the call of Katyayana Muni, again she has been awakened by the prayers of her children, and she arrives to the earth. She doesn't come alone, you know, she comes with her whole family. She comes with her daughter, Goddess Lakshmi, who is going to bring all prosperity and wealth, and another daughter, Goddess Saraswati, who brings knowledge and wisdom, and two sons, Ganesh, who fulfills all the wishes and desires of the devotees, and Kartikeya or Subramanya, who is going to destroy the enemies. Not only that, they all come with their Vahanas. Durga comes riding on her fierce lion, and Lakshmi comes on her owl, and Saraswati comes on her swan. Ganesha, he is a Mushika Vahana, and Kartikeya on the peacock. And she comes on the auspicious day of the Shashti, and after the 3 days, Saptami, Ashtami and Navami, she has to go back on Dashami to her Kailas abode. So Menaka, when the daughter has come, she has so much intimate conversation with her daughter. She asks her daughter, well, my dear daughter, what I am here, is it all true? When I sent you as the wife of Lord Shiva, he was like a beggar and people criticized me and I felt so bad and depressed. Now I am hearing that you have become the queen of Kashi Dham and you are famous as Annapurna, and that beggar like Shiva, he has become the lord of Kashi and he is Vishwanath. All this must have happened due to your luck. And she feels so proud because of her daughter. And Menaka, now Divine Mother, she also feels, oh, after 3 days my daughter has to go back. She prays to the Navami Tithi that may it not be over, may the Dashami may not come at all, so that my daughter can stay with me always. But time and tide wait for none, and she forgets that Uma is not only her daughter, she is the Divine Mother. How can she retain her here? She has to send her back to Lord Shiva. But it is all the feelings of parents towards their daughter and daughters toward parents. Uma also somehow tries to convince her mother that she has to go back to her Lord Shiva, because she says she cannot displease him. When he was not at all willing to send her, when somehow she convinced that she would come within a short time also, he was floating in tears. Uma tells her mother, you see, he is Bholanath. He cannot care for himself. He forgets to have food or sleep, and he doesn't know where he will be at what time. So unless I go and look after him, who is there to look after? So I must go back and look after him. And she convinces her parents that she has to return to Kaila. So this beautiful, affectionate, intimate relation, where sometimes devotee is the magnet pulling the heart of the divine, or sometimes the Divine Mother becomes magnet pulling the devotee's mind, or sometimes the devotee becomes the lotus and the Divine Mother the bee, and sometimes vice versa. So that can be experienced by we ourselves also. We can identify either with Menaka or Himavan and feel that intimate love, affection Divine Mother, and that can become part of our spiritual practices to realize her. If the Divine Mother comes with all her glories, with 10 hands and so many vahana and so many decorations and all grandeur and glory, you see, how can we easily approach her? We may become afraid. So she would also like to come as humanly as possible, just as a daughter, very simple and innocent also. So this aspect is also so beautiful. Sri Ramakrishna tells, when devotion deepens, the devotee does not like to see God with all the grandeur and aishwarya, not as powerful God with 10 hands and so much of weapons and all. We would like to see the lesser the glamour and grandeur, the intimate, more intimate will be the love and affection. So this attitude of goddess as the daughter is also a beautiful thing. And these both attitudes of Vatsalya Bhava and this Matra Bhava are beautifully depicted in this Durga Puja. We can see the mother, sometimes she comes in her powerful aspect, destroying the enemies. She is Abhaya, Varada, and she is in that aspect. At other times, she comes as simply our dear daughter, affectionate daughter, who feels sad to leave us and go back to her house. We also cry and weep for her, that she is having both two attitudes. Sometimes she is Saumya, very calm. Sometimes she is Rudra, that is terrible. Both aspects are something special in this case of Durga Mata. And so this is the time when it is auspicious also, we study, we read, we love to chant Chandi or Devi Mahatmya, which is a part of Markandeya Puran, and it consists of 700 mantras. It is believed that if we chant the Chandi, we get Shakti, whereas if we chant Gita, we get more devotion. So this Chandi and Gita, Bhagavad Gita, they are both are very important scriptures for us, and both are depicted with the background of battleground. And we may wonder, why so much as fighting and warriors and killing and all this, what is the important? You must remember, all this is only secondary. What is more important is the message behind all that. You see, it is all a very symbolic story showing how there is constant fight between the asuric and divine qualities in this world. In today's world, we may not see the asuras or demons outside. they are all inside the human mind only. So the Divine Mother comes, she destroys all the evil propensities within us and she helps to awaken the divine nature in us and divine sattvic qualities. In fact, the Divine Mother is Trigunatmika and she is also Gunatita. She has three, Sattva, Raja, Tamo, all these three qualities they say. So in this Chandi or Devi Mahatma we find there are three parts. In the first part, what is called Prathama Charitra, she is predominantly Tamo Guna Pradhana. So what she does is she removes the delusion or the Yoga Nidra. She awakens Lord Vishnu from his Yoga Nidra. On the other hand, she deludes the Madhu Kaitava, these asuras, and make them give a boon to Lord Vishnu, which will be the cause of their own destruction. And that happens in the first part. In the second part, what is called the Madhyama Charitra, there the Divine Mother is Mahalakshmi, who is supposed to be Rajoguna Pradhana. She kills the famous asura Mahishasur and becomes famous as Mahishasura Mardini. And in the last of the Uttama Charitra, the Mahasaraswati is extolled, who is Sattvaguna Pradhana and who destroys the Shumbha and Nishumbha Asuras. All these Asuras are nothing but the evil tendencies and qualities within us only, and Mother destroys them and makes us go beyond the Trigunas and ultimately realize her. And she is capable of giving whatever we pray to her. We find for the worldly people, she gives all prosperity, wealth and everything, just like she did to the Suratha Raja in this Chandi, who wanted to get back his kingdom, so she gives that to him. Whereas she gives to the wiser people knowledge and wisdom by which they can realize her. So the other person who we come across is Samadhi, the name of that Vaishya or the businessman. Both of them had worshipped the Divine Mother, but the Samadhi got over all his delusion and he prayed for wisdom and knowledge and the Divine Mother gave that to him. So she is Bhukti Mukti Dayini. Whatever we pray, that she is going to give to all of us. So that is the whole of the Chandi is a symbolic book where we pray to the Divine Mother for realizing her greatness and glory and ultimate wisdom and knowledge will be showered on us. So let us pray to the Divine Mother. May she shower us with that devotion towards her lotus feet, and may she remove all the ignorance and all the demonic qualities and weaknesses from our mind. May she awaken the spiritual tendencies so that we can all worship her and achieve her. So in this auspicious season of Durga Puja, let us all worship the Divine Mother with devotion and pray for her blessings. Om Asato Ma Sadgamaya Tamaso Ma Jyotirgamaya Mrityorma Amritangamaya. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat.